Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, and continuation visit with Gorman Etheridge this Saturday, late the 8th of May, 1971. Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, and a continuation visit with Gorman Etheridge this Saturday, late the 8th of May, 1971. This is Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, and a continuation visit with Gorman Etheridge this Saturday, late the 8th of May, 1971. Now, somehow or other, the talk doesn't begin till way up around 120. Way up around 120, the talk starts. Way up around 120, the talk starts.
Oh, yeah. That old man I'm talking about, he's in good shape. Ain't much of those little ducks down there. They're not never going to die. They're just going to fade away.
When you going to cook? Where do you live?
Gainesville.
What? Just, I'm not curious. Just want to know your street number and what time you're going to cook. And what time you going to cook.
Well,
I tell you what, the best, the
best place is right out here. You can run into them right out here.
Right out here. I'm going to get those.
In town.
Better be that Oak Creek Rye.
In town, there's not much going on.
I didn't see them cooking nothing out here.
Yeah,
they
come out.
They cook right out there.
Trade.
What do you cook out there?
Well, before we had vegetables, we cooked wieners.
Oh, they original, ain't they?
That's just emergency, right?
Emergency.
Get hungry. Now I got squash and greens, and I know how to cook all that.
You do. Where was you raised?
I learned from Jim's mother.
Oh, from Jim's mother.
What's Harrison doing? And
he's piddling around, doing a little mechanicing for these bloated bondholder millionaires around here. He finished all he worked on Walter Beach's car day before yesterday, I believe.
And keeping out of sight?
Kind of keeping out of sight. Go out, fat boys, about 1:30.
Yeah.
Well,
I've never done that.
Well, you ought to get out there. That's a bunch of old. I haven't seen old man.
Well, now, let me tell you, Gorman, it looked to me like there at the base station, he just hung around there and just let himself in for a whole lot of trouble.
To Harrison?
Yes.
He knew what he used to do. Picking up a lot of good work. He don't like to work no more. He's the best mechanic ever come out of this country. But he wants to make it the easy way. Tune-up job or something like that.
Yes.
And, see, when these people get tired of Johnny Rigdon boys messing the cars up, they'll hunt up Harrison. He'll straighten it out. And
well, that's it.
They don't mind paying the bill.
Well, now, he got to have some place they can find him.
The ones he wants to find, he knows where to find him. He's got to be an exclusive specialist. He's down on the river now. He got his house trailer down there, Manatee Springs State Park.
Oh, yeah.
His little girl. He took her down there for the weekend.
Yeah.
He'll be back Monday, though.
Yeah.
What you need done, I'll make him come out here and do it.
I'll do it. Oh, hell, all this I have to do is just a little class work.
I let him do for me. It's high class, but he gets low class pay.
Hard fisted mechanic is what I need.
But he ain't gonna do that.
Well, let me tell you.
Like overhauling that truck.
He not gonna do that?
No.
Well, let me tell you. If I could get a mechanic who would sort of overlook it,
you could do it.
I could do it right smart of it. And I can't depend on these mechanics.
How about cooking?
He quit business 6 months ago.
He gets like Harrison. He don't want to get his hands dirty.
He hadn't done anything for me for 6 months.
Had
no.
That machine, unless it's got awful bad, it's running pretty good when you run down the field with it. Run faster. As I say, if you lose it, have you had a compression check on it?
Yeah.
What if you change the plugs in it? I'm not kidding you, Doc. If you let that oil get, what happens?
Yeah.
Your rings will freeze.
Yeah.
And you're not getting compression there. If you don't keep your oil changed, especially in anything, keep clean oil in it.
Yeah.
Those rings will set, and they don't expand, and you're getting a lot of blow-by.
Let me tell you what. You come out here someday, and you just sit there and supervise it, and I'll do the work. And
there ain't no work to that.
Put your
oil plug out, put fresh oil in, put your can of high rev in there before you change your oil. That'll clean all that corrosion out of there.
Yeah.
Run it 10 or 15 minutes, and then change your oil, and check if you got bad plugs. That'll cause it to not work too good. You need good plugs. If you're a farm tractor, you're getting a lot of silt and dirt. And you need a good filter, and you need to clean that oil pretty
well. Well, I tell you, there's of all the mechanics around here, there's not any of them I can call on and count on them being there.
No, you can't anywhere.
Or taking,
especially on a farm tractor.
Paying any attention to it.
But unless you're gonna work it heavy, and you ain't gonna do that. You're gonna do a little mowing. You're gonna do a little riding hay back into the chow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look expensive. Thing overhaul.
Well, it don't cost much, you know.
Don't cost much.
If you do it right.
If you pull, get a mechanic to pull that motor down and overhaul it, you're going to and put all the rings and inserts, now he's going to run $300. And to me, that's much. That may not be much to you, but a $300 bill is a pretty good little chunk of change, any way you slice it. And that to completely overhaul that motor. That's about what it's going to scare it to death.
That's like buying it all over again.
That's like buying it all over again, and until it starts missing pretty heavy, I wouldn't have that done. As I say, you can use additives like Joyce's Pontiac. It's got 125,000 miles on it. It needs overhauling. You remember that Clyde got repossessed, and I still got it from him. Jody had in that green one.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll run like that. If they get out and drive it, it's a high output engine, and they just don't let it go. They're scared to drive. They get poke around town, and every now and then you got to get it out and blow it out. But that old engine will run her for another year. It ain't worth no $300 or $400 to overhaul that engine, because they're gonna beat that body up. That's what they're gonna do. Hit banging into this, banging into that. A woman ain't got no business driving nowhere.
What you say?
That's right. How many dents you got in that crust? I mean that in that Oldsmobile. He put them all in there, didn't he?
Gorman, you don't have any headquarters either now.
Boot 'em all. Oh, I'll keep Chiefland's headquarters.
Yeah.
I joined the ranks of the unemployed years ago. I worked for a long time, from 8 to 5, and I got a mess of it. And I made more money and had a better time since I got unemployed. Strictly work.
Well,
commission operation.
Yeah.
Everything I do.
You haven't seen Cookie?
I haven't seen Cookie since he left the state.
Well, you know what he's doing now?
Said he's working university.
Yeah.
He's working.
But he's turned down a promotion over there. They put him on the trash truck.
You mean Cookie said he turned down a promotion, huh?
No, sir. He said that trash truck is just what he wants. He says they spend a half a day running around there looking for trash. And that all the time he's looking for trash, he can see them cars with the for sale signs on.
No, he buys them and sells them.
Well, he hadn't started yet, but he figures
he's going to. Well, every time I turn around, somebody says Cookie's hunting me. I guess that's what he's wanting. Well, I ain't about to finance none of Cookie's operation.
That's right. He'd have to have a little finance over there, wouldn't he?
Yeah. And I know Cookie's operation. He's pretty unreliable. Keep hearing that thunder. Maybe we'll get some rain.
Let me tell you, Gorman. Did you ever... Does Cookie have any money?
Ever do what?
Cookie ever owe you?
No, he would have, I'd let him. But, Doc, that's a funny thing. I like Cookie, and I'm going. Me and I always get along with Cookie. I found one thing.
Yeah.
If you want to bust up a friendship, lend money.
Yeah.
That's right. If you,
if your
friend comes to you, be ready to do one of two things or not both.
Yeah.
If you lend him money, be in a position to lose your money.
Yeah.
And your friend or both.
Not bring it up.
It's like a long time ago, one of my neighbors, he's a pretty good old fella. He retired. I was in the bank there, and he run in and says, "You just a fella I've been looking for. I've got to have $60 to get my car out. I just had it overhauled." I says, "Well, Uncle Bob, we're in the bank." He says, "Well, I could borrow it here, but I don't want to go to all that rigmarole just for $60, and I don't need it till the first of the month my check comes in." I said, "Well, that's good, Uncle Bob." I just wrote him a check. I said, "Dale, I'm going to cash it there, so you can go and get your car out." Well, first of the month come by, I never did done Uncle Bob. He passed the house every morning, twice, two, three times a day.
Yeah.
About 2 months later, he come bouncing in one morning and says, "You know, I guess you're going to kill me." I says, "What about, Uncle Bob, about that money?" "Oh, yes." "No, I hadn't thought more about it. Well, I'm going to give you $20 on it." He piddled around, and I had to give him a receipt, see? And the balance due every time.
Yeah.
That went on for about 6 months, and he eventually got it paid. Well, I didn't want to bother to get it. That's good.
Well, you learned.
Well, as the point I'm making there is this. I was in a position to lose my money.
Yeah.
Rather than not, because Uncle Bob's a neighbor, and he and my brother, they worked together, but I've never done anything for it.
Yeah.
But if you can't afford to lose your money, or your friend, just don't let him have it.
Let me tell you. Now this is what I've run into out here. You can't do business with any of your neighbors.
No.
Well now, let me tell you, we all make a little hay. It's costly, you know, and over here at Miss Guthrie's and over here at Dodd's. See, Dodd had all that hay equipment. I couldn't get him over here at all. Miss Guthrie told me one time, she went and bought some equipment, and we had a hilarious time over there that night when they brought the baler, as a new baler. She had been counting on Dodd to come over there and bale her hay, and she had her hay down. And it seemed like a cloud would be coming up, and Dodd was way over there at Citra, and he'd come over there, but he had to stop at home and eat.
Oh, yeah.
With that cloud coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And her hay down, and you know, she couldn't wait to get a baler. And she said, I said, Ms. Guthrie, I'll go in with you. She says, you don't have to go in with me. She says, here's this baler, and your troubles is over. And we just, it's just like old drinking buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never could get that baler over here. I don't know what happened to that
sweet partnership.
Brutus Schaff that we drunk with a cup of coffee that night. I got, let me tell you, here's where I made my mistake. I got just a little sour about that.
Oh, don't be human.
And for a day or two or a month or two, you see, I just didn't let on that I knew him. Well, I got over it. And they never brought it up. And you know what? They got that old baler over there, and it just sets there and rusts.
We lose sight of the fact, Doc, we're all human.
Well, now, don't give me that. Now, what happened, Gorman?
That's human nature, as I say.
Don't give me any of that old human nature stuff now. Something happened that I could have done about it.
No, it's the property. We talk big around the coffee table if we've had a couple of snorts. But when time comes to, what happened to Bob in the $60 in the first of the month? What happened? He just didn't pay the bill. And since I never did done him, but he got the feeling bad.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So what happens to, as I say, don't give you
well,
all that old stuff.
Was you a young man then?
Well, it's been several years ago, a good many years ago. He figured I had plenty of money, see?
Yes.
That's all he figured, and I never did done Uncle Bob for it. As I say, I wouldn't let him have it if I wasn't in a position to lose that $60, because I didn't want to lose him as a friend. Not that I needed him, but my brother did. All the time he said, I want to see somebody to watch his cows, you know, or help him cross other highways with them. Uncle Bob was a mighty good neighbor.
Yeah.
And $60 wouldn't I? Not that my brother pays me anything of that nature, but if I ever need him...
Sometimes I think I'll just leave this country.
No, Doc, it all boils down to this. Like I tell everybody back here, I say we're out drinking and pie root, and we're going to take this joint. We talk big. But now, don't you never... And they say, you got to do the front knee. You're going to go in and start the fight.
Yeah.
Be sure you start when you can finish yourself, because if you don't, your help's going to leave you. That's all there is
well,
to
it.
You. And you get the hell beat
I,
out of you.
I feel like I just leave this country and go somewhere where they don't know me.
Well,
once they think that I'm working up there and getting $2 and a half an hour...
Well, they think you're getting rich. How many of my
men
told me...
They just want part of that.
And you'll hear this. Well, we make.
And if I go somewhere else, I'm just not going to work and make $2 and a half an hour. I don't know what I'll do about it. But you see, if you go over there dressed like you are now, they'll do you the same way.
If they can. But that's what I say. See,
but they'll see you coming.
They'll see me coming, and they get the figuring. But that's like my men working for me. They all say, oh, hell, we're making you rich.
Yes.
Well, boys appreciate it, I'll tell them. That's like one I was trying to get a
Oh, he wants a canopy seat. On that Texaco station over there. I tell him, let's get out here in the breeze. I tell him, I say, Mutt, it's going to run you. This is not going to be cheap the way you want it. We're not talking about peanuts.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's your old Cadillac go out? You want me to buy you another Cadillac? I says, that's a general idea. That's about go out. I need another. Yeah. Well, can you wait a year? I says, no, I got to have it this year. Well, that's their general attitude, see, but they make it like a joke. But they long since learned I'm going to do them good work, but I ain't going to do it for nothing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't care less whether they like me or not. That's your problem. You want them all to like you.
No, I don't. I want to work with them.
Well?
And I have not been able to do it at all.
You've got to skin a little, let them skin you a little. It's like working a damn nigger. You've got to give him a little, yeah. Let him steal a little, and pay him a little, see? Then he worked fine. And I don't care who he is, nor how old he is, nor how integrated he's got. He's still the same way.
Yeah.
Most of you white folks, same way. They got to feel they beat you just a little. That's me, as I say, it's a carnality in them.
Well, old Nick, you don't know Nick. Nick's a young fella, about like these girls. And he hangs around out here. And his mama's sort of a millionaire, but he don't seem to affect him. He hangs around. That's his horse. Mine is his horse.
Well, what's his last name?
Nick Espa.
I don't know.
Let me tell you. And Nick watched Cookie. And he would get incensed. But he's a boy who you never know it. You know, he never
keep it to himself.
Oh yeah. He never told. Well, son, he went back up there. He was going to school. He's up there now. He's going to school at Swanee. And he went back up there that fall, and he took that around and went all around the countryside there and went to the shows, horse shows and all like that. I mean, the country horses.
Uh-huh.
And he found out more than I ever knew. One thing, they all traded horses. They never kept the same horse. They wanted to trade. And when they traded, they didn't care what they got, so they got a little boot.
We got a little boot, that's right. They traded
a
boot.
Let me tell you, Vaughn. So, you know, from your point of view, it was your sociology background. You could almost map it out. You know, it's almost South Sea Island. There's a bunch of taboos.
That's right. But you got to play with them. See.
You got to know it first.
You got to know it. Well, it usually takes one to know one.
Well, let me tell you. Cecil Pardee did all this work back there for Bill Wynn, and when he got through, he wouldn't level it off because that wasn't Bill Wynn's responsibility. That was mine. And he wouldn't do a peanuts for me. But he'd do it for Bill Wynn because Bill Wynn was son-in-law of old man Christian, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And old man Christian staked him all his life.
Yeah, he's got an axe to grind there, and he'll get something out of Bill Wynn before it's over with. Yeah,
well,
don't
partly.
You know, don't
partly,
you know what he wants?
Partly, but I think actually Bill Wynn gets more out of him.
Well, he might do it. But
and
Bill Wynn's just smarter. That's
old
all.
Man Christian did.
And he's just smarter.
Yeah. Now, what
I like Bully and Cookie. Bully got more out of Cookie. I won't let Cookie do that. I'm not, as I say, Cookie is a proletarian. I wouldn't let him do nothing for me. I don't trust him. I sent him a couple of jobs. And I know for sure Cookie didn't half do them. I sent Joyce's mother's truck around that. He puts half of the carburetor kit on, he puts the other half in his pocket. Well, I have to send it somewhere else to get it fixed. You paid him for it. Well, you know people like that, Doc, and you just don't bother with them. Now, I don't criticize them. I don't belabor them. You cannot change the average human being.
Yeah.
That's the reason I quit Uncle Sam. You work your heart, you break your heart trying to get, and all you was trying to teach them was for their own benefit.
Yeah.
I didn't have no axe to grind.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting nothing out of it.
Yeah.
And they look at you with suspicion.
Yeah.
It's like the drunk laying down in the gutter and some fellow rich, benevolent millionaire say, get up, friend. I hate to see you laying here. Come on, I'll buy you a good dinner. And a new suit of clothes, and I'll pay you for a hotel. Hey, what do you want from me, buddy?
Yeah.
And see, that's the
That's basically human nature's attitude.
Well,
so
you work with dozens and dozens of people like cookies.
The cookie type I leave alone completely. Oh, I'll chat with him or something. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings.
But
I just won't let him work for me.
All them country people you work with, he's just a good old country boy.
But somewhere along the line, Cookie got the attitude that he's going to try to... Well, he's a cheat, like 90% of people are. He's going to not quite do all the job he's supposed to. He's going to fix it in a way to where it'll tear up again.
Yeah.
He'll get a comeback job out of it, see. But as I say, I'm just using him as an example. He's not alone in that. He's not a character all by himself.
He never quite finishes.
Most of the people are the same way, though. That's just all there is to it. So we just got to take people for what they are, because you're not going to change them.
Yeah. Well, now, these people you used to work with, Uncle Sam over there, they'd come up there and ask you you wanted them to do.
No, they'd come up there to borrow money from you. And the
Roland, you don't need him.
Oh, that's all right.
Come on, I say yes.
And the restriction was to see who was working with the lower third. It was called a rehabilitation program. Now, the word rehabilitation means taking from and carrying back to a status quo. Well, that was a misnomer. The program was designed to take this group of sharecroppers, poor people that couldn't get credit, and by financing their operation and supervising it, to get them self-sustaining by following a program of farm management and supervision. Well, they needed the money. It was low interest. They wanted the money, but they didn't want you to tell them how to do a damn thing.
Oh, they didn't?
No. They wanted to do it their old way, see.
Yeah.
This is the way Pa done it, and they wouldn't follow your program. Oh, you could get one now and then. You could teach one man one new thing once a year. That's about all you can get through an adult's mind.
Yeah.
You can get him to do one practice, one good practice a year. That's about your average. Now and then you'd hit one doctor that would set the world afire. He was ready, willing, and able to learn.
Yeah.
But that individual is awful rare.
Yeah.
And they're successes. I can go show you a few of those. But my goodness alive, when you're working with 200 or 300 people and you don't get but one or two good ones out of the bunch, it's heartbreaking.
Why not? Look at that.
What you got?
You've got a man coming in here now.
Yeah, and I got to go. I'm running late.
You let him talk a minute. You want to hear him.
Oh, he done brought you some cabbage.
I want you to look who's here.
Oh, man.
He had two peg legs.
Oh, you think? Tell him.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm
going to have one.
You don't
have
one?
Everett
Smith.
I'm sorry. Hey, Everett, I'm going with Everett.
Yeah.
I know you.
Have a seat.
Well, now, let me tell you all sit down there in a minute. I never said both of you. I want to see who cooks out of head.
Well.
I'll give you 5 minutes now.
Ain't got time. I was running
five
way behind.
Minutes.
I'd walk out. Why? Where you live, around here?
Yes, sir. I live on Highway 320, if you know where 20 is. Out of McIntosh.
Oh, around
going
McIntosh.
West, going
Doc.
West.
The old Doc Cook's domain.
Yeah.
Except he left y'all.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, man,
he was a good friend of mine.
Doc's good man.
Doc was my buddy with duck hunting.
Oh, y'all duck hunted.
Yes, I said. And they ate breakfast with him, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, drink.
And she gave him cooked for
him. He was a duck hunter?
Who?
I thought he said.
Doc?
Stayed,
he stated about it.
Stated
and
the
bowling damn, too. I stopped by that time or two to see him, and we bowled some.
Down
there. Yeah, down him in there. Yeah.
See, he's already got the head of
it. He ain't got anything on
there. Where's your leg off?
Mine blew over the knee about five.
You bowl, dance, kick, jump,
play
ball.
I played baseball and basketball in school.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gee, man.
And got plays on the wall in the house that I won in the swimming, 100-yard dash.
100-yard dash.
Always had
good
wind. Always had good wind and been pretty healthy most of my life, in other words.
Yeah.
Except this losing this limb.
Now, see, he run the potato business over at Hastings.
Well, I just came. I had, last week I told you I had bad luck. You know, that was Mr. Wood.
Yeah.
About the axle ringing off, talking to him about it. And this week we've had a bad Friday. That was yesterday.
Is that
everything
right?
Seemed like went wrong.
Everything went
the valve on the that feeds the water to the potatoes when they wash them.
Yeah, yeah.
In the,
yeah,
in the roller with a brush, I guess you've seen the
I've
machine.
Seen the operation, don't know how it works.
And that a valve went out, in other words, and it clogged the pipe up.
Yeah.
Cut the switch, pull the switch, 15 electric, big electric motor, wet the machine, in other words, under there.
Yeah.
I got the Stilson wrench and broke that thing loose, and it broke off, and I just taken it out. We didn't have time to uncouple it. You got to uncouple the union to take out the valve in the thing, and I was sold down operation, and about 25 people underneath that on the payroll.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we do. And I said, we just let it go full blast water.
Yeah,
it's a valve,
yeah,
and just the water spray
yeah,
to the pump.
At least it's
so I cut
the,
I put the thing back.
That is most uncomfortable feeling, to have a bunch of men waiting out there, and here you are under the tractor, trying to get it to work.
Then on top of that, they elevate it, feed it up to the belt, and go to the truck. We load the buck, get like watermelon, weigh the truck empty.
Yeah.
Putting 42 to 44,000 on each one of those tandem. The fact that also the back end.
Yeah.
And that little sorry cheap bear, that they just installed that equipment, and they're now going the equipment underneath that shed cost about $15,000 to $20,000. And I called a man that the man is still in the warranty and told him to come out and fix this cheap made machine. So he came out and I said, you fellas, of course, you always something new, you can find something that can be improved. Anyone got any sense. But I said, why in the world you all put that little pot metal looking bearing up there to pull these potatoes, and that belt goes up, it's about 12, 15 feet long.
Yeah.
And each one of them tall with a whole 15 pound of potatoes,
yeah,
you know, where the cleats are.
And
I said, what you all thinking about putting that little pot bear up there and it tearing up? No, and that just slowed down, and well, we lost one load of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded 42,000. We only got four, and we should have gotten five trailers. Lost one trailer. That closed down.
Lord.
But then
Lord.
We cut the hands Lord. Off, you see.
Yeah.
Cut them off the payroll after the breakdown, you can do that. See,
oh,
a major breakdown,
yeah. Major
but the pump, no, it wasn't a major.
Wasn't a major.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, why, then the truck got tangled up.
No, I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
They're using two companies of trucks, you know, with the terminal out of Jacksonville and also the Ryder company.
Oh,
really?
And the buyer needs tailors. We got on the contract to furnish him a big buyer. All the tailors. I got some potato chips I'll bring in.
Some
of our potatoes that done been made in the chip.
Oh,
in 30 hours while you eating the chip, I was 69 cent back.
You see?
And the man bought me a whole box full, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He lost out. He's second place.
Yeah.
We put him on the second
place.
I'm going to the car.
No, I got
imitation.
I want one too.
Boss man, I had to get a haircut this weekend or either pay a dog tax. He said, well, that's the style. Well, it's kind of long all the way around, thick on your head. I can't stand it. I don't like that long bushy hair. But I had a little truck trouble coming in and taking me 3 hours to go from Hawthorne to my home. First thing I had, I ruined the tube. I had the cob potatoes on, you know. I guess a ton of better. And it ruined the tube. And come to find out the rim was bad. And I couldn't find the rim, no word. And the old spad I got underneath that bender, you know, I just don't think I ever used it one time. Wear a tie out and just sit under the dry rod underneath the back end. Same way an automobile, you know, if you don't change them. But you just stay there and stay there.
Yeah.
And I stopped a cousin of mine in Hawthorne, Whittington boy. That's Ailey's brother. He had one station, that big Shell station. And he was going to help me out, and finally he found the wheel and at the junkyard, in other words, and put my tie on. I didn't ruin it, but the tube was run. I had to buy a tube, and he didn't have the tube, and I had to go down and pay $4, nearly $5 for inner tube. And I said, well, he charged the list price. He said, yeah, he said, he won't let me have it, you know, wholesale. I said, I never have paid the little, about less than $3, in other words, for inner tube. But I was in a tight. I broke down, and they can tell you, in other words, get it or leave it, in other words.
That's what happens to you on the road. You see, everything costs you more, don't it?
And he charged about $2 changing that thing, you know what, and one to another, you know what. And my old rim was split, and the hole was big, and that's what ruined my tube. The tube was real good. I taken it out of the truck. I brought it in, but it pulled out, and it leaking, you know, underneath it. Of course, it's no good. It'd be all right for a swimming tube, you know. Kids, I'm going to get it from a cousin that has some children. Don't let them, you know, catch the water, you know, summer. And play with it.
Well, bless
us, Edward. And grace Heavenly Father, we thank you for that blessing and bless this food and earth, our body and our bodies, our service, for that. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Well, I don't apologize, but I tell you, we had some last minute company, and I think your potatoes got a little. Nothing like feeding a potato man.
I saw that Cadillac, and I thought it was Wood. He said something about he might be over, and I'd get to meet his cook. His wife, of course, he meant.
Yes. He was here, and I didn't know whether he was, what are you going to do, wait for you, or go over there and see about you, or what. So he must be cruising around the country somewhere. He was here.
He was. And I told him about bringing some more potatoes.
Now this fella.
I'm seeing him.
This fella. His headquarters was chief there.
If I'd had a little talk with him, I'd know a lot of people in chief. I used to watch the watermelon deal over there, you know.
Oh, really? Well, now he doesn't know anybody in your settlement.
He doesn't.
Not a soul.
Well, he knows the people I call over there. If he knows some of the people.
Yes.
Well, the do people.
Yes. Well, you see, he knows everybody in Williston from their own.
Fast Falls, McElroy's, pretty well known people.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, you know, run for governor, didn't they? Started to. Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Dan.
Yeah.
He
knows that. Fast Falls hadn't lived over there in a generation or so, had he?
No.
You might like some of this on your meat.
No. He's got a sauce on it, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it'll still mix with this.
Ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for French fries over here. I get them. I tell them to cook them. They, you know, in a potato country, they hardly ever have potatoes. And I tell them, I want French fries. Cook me some. No, I'll cook them.
Now,
the lady's kind of, you know, she, of course, I know how to cook, but I mean, she says she just get up in the morning and cook my breakfast, get up at 6 o'clock, and she fixes breakfast. I said, you don't have to do that.
Over there? And
where I stay, where I live. I stay in the home, private home, you know, a nice home.
Yeah.
And the people are well-to-do, they got a 71 Cadillac.
Now, you're not right in Hastings.
No, I'm on the Bunnell Road.
On
it's
the
about
Bunnell
4 miles out.
There's all sorts of packing houses over there.
Oh, yeah. There's worlds of them.
But now, who is it runs yours?
You mean owns it?
Mm-hmm.
First cousin of mine. He passed. He's same my age. He died last year. And his boy is there, a young boy.
Yeah.
Started cropping about 10, 15 years ago. I worked over there when they used an old-fashioned digger. You know, I left them on top of the ground. You picked them up in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I paid off in the field. You know, then you'd take $1,000, you know, and make payroll in the daytime, paying off the labor. You're paying them off cash as to get through the, you know, one through.
Every day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is his boy going to carry on?
That's right. And he can't handle labor. You know, labor now is something else. And he knew it. Now, because you're temperamental and you can't do too much bossing the labor now. They only boss you.
Yeah, I boss you.
Well, I promised him before he passed away that I'd, you know, come on and help him. That's when I had this job, and I thought it'd be the first of the month. And that's when he called. I went to telephone my sister-in-law and told me to call him back. If I'd come, he wouldn't be there Monday morning. I'd come on Sunday afternoon, so I went on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And then I had to go and tell my boss later I was working with out there, them people, they wouldn't be on the job anymore. And I was talking to the color man this evening, and he said it was, that he'd gone back to tend the business Ohio, and she stayed by herself. And she got one of them big dogs for protection, I would. But we did go complete the fence around it. Did you see? I told you to go by there and you see that place. You didn't come back by the way. I told you to come back by there. But you didn't. You were with the Wood, and you didn't come back that way, did you?
No. I was over there. I tell you what, I went over there. Yesterday morning.
Well, did you go that Dungarvan Road out from Orange Lake?
I stopped over there at Max's. And we stood there and talked about his pasture salon. I was going to get him to sort of step over there and show me. And it got to be dinner time. And I figured we better come on. So I...
But we got the yard fence, I mean the fence around the yard, about 2 acres, where you keep the dog in. And
oh, yeah.
Got the big room in the gate, got his hung. But she's an Alabama girl, and he's Italian, in other words, he's an architect, and he has tended business in Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach.
You were talking about your potato operation over there. Now, how is the boy getting away with his with the labor business now?
Well, I handle labor and build the trucks out. He's more or less going to town and bringing the trucks out, showing them, you know, how to come out.
Yeah.
And then he checked with a broker.
Yeah.
So he hid potatoes. I checked with a broker buying potatoes. The man is taking 30,000 bags.
And you can handle labor?
I can handle labor. I always have.
And you can do it now?
Well, I'm doing a pretty good job at it now so far. Had a little trouble with playing cards and talking filth and, you know, how to do around that.
Pretty rough.
Place like that, all of them, everywhere you go now.
Well, they're not migrants.
No, they come out of Palatka, come out of Hastings.
Yeah.
But they're not migrants, no. Now, back before we had that migrant, that's when they cut each other and fight and get crazy. But now, then, well, they're just teenagers. The girls are teenagers, and you know how girls are now, they're wild. They get a little break now, where they flop down, you know, on the floor, you know, and get a card game going, you know, talking all kind of filth. You got to break that up. I'm going to get a limb to them, they don't cut that stuff out.
Yeah.
Say it in a way, you know, whether they don't seem to resent it too much. They know it's wrong. It's not, you know, no policy doing that. You know, what time some of the big boys up there, we done had several of them, like the potato chip man, you know, and bought those chips. I like you tried some of the chips.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fresh chips. I think the name is White. They're real white.
Uh-huh.
White Chip Company, Birmingham, Alabama.
Is that right?
And some of the same potatoes from my farm.
Hmm.
Well, how old is this boy?
He's 29. He served his National Guard duty, finished high school, served the National Guard, and was going to work. He wanted to be a mechanic. He's mechanical inclined, but he's a little rough. And, like he was about busting that axle, you know, I told him he would if that four-wheel drive Dodge would tear up something.
Yeah.
And told him it. But a dig, you know, a wheel down, one of the wheels, you know, all that's gone to China.
Yeah.
He hooked that thing to it with a load of potatoes, about 8 tons of potatoes on it. And threw it in four-wheel drive and showered down, and I heard the thing, something crack, and I thought it was a frame broke.
I put your, let you make your own coffee, I'm sorry. Is it hot still?
No.
No, I got it here.
You got it just here.
Just put it back up.
Yeah.
I don't imagine, because we talked for 5 minutes then. But boy, he'll kind of listen to me. You know, I'm good. He seems old on here. I've been around him when he's young, you know, but he's just a nervous type boy. He worries. Now, he lives downtown. He and I, you know, closed up the shop, in other words, while one or two of the older colored people stay there and keep, you know, kind of staying straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I ride with him, you know, down to home, and his wife cooked dinner for he and I both. And at night, while we come back, my cousin wife, we go to town and usually eat out. She doesn't like to cook too much, but we go to the restaurant and eat, and she picked up the evening paper, and we come back, and she reads it and looked at the television, and I talk a little while, and I listen to one or two ball games. I like baseball games. I maybe finish the Time Union. I pick up early in the morning to get a chance to read all the headlines. It comes early when I get up. It's after 6, you know, to have breakfast. I have a little time for the hand to get there.
And they live in town?
No. He the boy and his wife does. He's got two children.
Now you live with them?
No. I'm living with the mother, my cousin's wife. Yeah, that's where I sleep.
That's the boy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have two children. The girl is the editorial writer of this little Star Banner now in Ocala.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Writes the news. She had a wonderful article in there. That she had me, her mother let me read. She's written up. She's been out there that big, no, college. What's the name of that thing on the 27th? can't call anything now, you know, whether it's millionaire or not, it costs you money to go there. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Golden Hill.
Yeah, Golden Hill Academy. That's it. You had it down. Then the millionaire go there.
Yeah.
You're not drinking coffee enough?
Must be for the dollar plate.
But I never had the money to go with that place myself. But she wrote this article on it, and it's real good. But she's got a German dog, and he'll eat you up, and I don't care about getting used to him. But the handyman, she called him, he helped the boy make the crop for the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he got, I think, about his 6 or 8 tractors. And all good tractors, too.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's in business,
isn't he? He's that.
Now, has he got the, going to take it right smart? He got to be able to take losses.
That's what I'm afraid of. You know, if he had it all, well, he may be it. Cause his mother not financing, see. He's, that's the reason he signed his contract, to be sure he could operate. No, they have to get him $30,000 back. That's $90,000, see.
I see. So that'll keep him in business.
Yeah, that's right. He buys fertilizer, no, with the $90,000 still on the contract, and be able to operate next year on the contract. But number two, you get down to half that $3, dollar and a half, you lose your money.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, whether it's your mother, she's able to finance him, but I don't believe she will.
Yeah. But
she doesn't have a thing to do with it. He's renting a land from her. He pays her just like he's renting another piece of land there from right at the house from old Caparilla.
Yeah.
A tablet. 9 acres right there side of the road, right next to the house. That's the first field we dug. But it's not potato land, there's too much clay in it. And it's dry weather, you couldn't get the water, you know, out of the ditches and the artesian well to it. And the potato ran small, but it dug 143 bags an acre, which wasn't too, a bad crop for this year, in other words. But the field went now, it's getting about 240 bags an acre. When you get through with it, I believe the home, what they call a home place, when you get back there, it's going to do all right, too. That's where the house is.
Well, he don't have to own all the land he
is. No.
Fine.
No, he rented. That was just like that Smith place, they call it, and Caparilla place.
Yeah.
It's 90 and 40, that's 130 acres he rented, besides the home place. He paid his mama rent on it.
Yeah.
But his mama not backed him. I thought maybe she was. If daddy and her was able to finance himself and he living, I thought he had his money in it. But I guess they made arrangements when they settled in another state. But to get that kind of thing on him, because I didn't inquire. It wasn't in my business. But she was cutting up, and I said, well, let him worry about that. See, it must be $200,000 worth of tractor and equipment. When he's packing his head, in other words, and he made arrangements to let the boy have that. That'd be inheritance. And she's saying she's going to have to pay an inheritance tax on it. That was scaring her to death. You know how people are. You can pay it and they don't have money, but they're worried about getting share of that money.
Yeah.
I said, you left that boy. He's 29 years old. Let him worry about that. He done made it right with the lawyer, you know. He got that part straightened out in the will. But she's a nervous type of girl. She's in a 50.
Is he have to make $3 a bag to... come out on
it? No, he got to make right at two.
Right at two.
Yeah. A dollar and a half. This year it wasn't quite expensive, he said, to raise the crop because he didn't have to dust as much.
Yeah.
But when the drought hit him, he said it made it up on the water because them electric pumps. Mm-hmm. That costs $100 a week, you know, for electricity. You run them big electric pumps.
All right.
$100 a week run that money if you run them real long.
It seemed long, doesn't it?
That's what he said.
Yeah, when you do that. Now,
but I think the boy's going to come out and be able to operate. He said last year with him, with his daddy, he just had that 190 acres, see, and his daddy had the other by himself and his mother, you see. And he said he made $20,000 off that 90 acres last year, which wasn't a bad crop after paying for all the expenses and everything. But his daddy financed him, see. They're independent farming of them, you know what I mean, the people there.
Yeah.
able to operate, why they don't have to, you know, borrow money and pay interest on it and all that.
Yeah. Now this truck, who was stuck?
The tractor with a cart on it, like you have, that one that has about 1,120 tires on it. Just one single tire. And it hauled about 6 tons. It's a 14-foot body on it. It hauled about 6 tons of potatoes behind a big John Deere tractor.
Oh, I see.
And you had a water for it to cover them up with a harrow, like you had on that lift, you know, on that little Alice Chalmers of yours. And they had it behind a Ford, a little bigger than yours, an 851, I believe, series. And it covered that water fur. See, where the water, you know, feeds the plant. And he cut the water off the wells, and it dried out some. But after you get down so deep, you've seen land of it. After you get underneath that top saw, because I told them dark, and they looked kind of funny. I said, you never heard that before? I said, no, I don't believe I have. I said, that thing is going to China. It did. It hit the wheel. Hit that 1,100 tire. And the frame was holding it up, keeping going on down. And he hooked to it with that Dodge, you see, and it down without digging in front of the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had about 8 tons on it with a big chain.
Yeah.
And something had to come. I said, you pull that blooming thing in too. You may pull the draw bar off the doggone tractor.
Yeah.
Of course, it would help him, but it was just spinning, though. It couldn't do anything. Just like hooking to a pine tree out there with a piece of equipment trying to pull it up by the roots.
Well, what busted?
Axle. Couldn't find one.
Of the trailer?
Nowhere. Of the big truck.
Of the big truck?
Rear axle.
Uh-huh.
Offset axle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a civilian. It's not an Army four-wheel drive. I guess what you call it, it must be about a 3-ton deal.
Well, on that truck there, what do you put your cable to pull by?
You put it on the frame.
On the frame?
Mm-hmm. And I heard something crack, and I thought it was the frame, you know, where the frame is based, you know, where them pieces, you know, ever so often. I thought one of them broke, but it was actually. Because the front wheel drive would work. But the rear, you know, wheel, you know, wouldn't do it. You know, rear thing. And it said drive shaft. And I looked, and it was turning. The drive shaft was turning. And that's when one of the colored men, I said, it's in the rear end of the axle. So then, he didn't want to, he said it cost $50 to get someone to come and jack it up with one of these horse, you know, like the wrecker.
Yeah.
And put cross ties on. We got a fertilizer truck out there, 22 or 24 tons of fertilizer on it. One back in there.
Yeah.
And that driver wanted to get it out.
Yeah.
So we called a wrecker out of Williston. And he called, come over and charged the boy $25, but he had to come about 10 miles, which was reasonable enough.
Yeah.
He jacked the thing up and put cross ties on it. And he threw that winch to it and hooked it to an oak tree out there. And it's just like a wife said, it just eased that thing out just right at the time without tearing up anything.
Yeah.
And I said, you do the same thing here.
Yeah. Next time, you think he will?
I hope he will.
Cost him enough. And
well, he couldn't buy. Actually, he said it cost $50. Couldn't find one in Jacksonville, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, anywhere. One more beer plan.
Now, you have used your old watermelon truck for a long time, haven't you? How many seasons have you worked it yourself?
I let another boy work it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I worked it in Carolina about three or 4 years.
Oh, you mean?
And I worked it here. I carried up that brand new. Paid for it the first year in Carolina. South Carolina.
Oh, is that right?
It cost me $2,600. Without the body, anything. Dad and I made the body on it and also a pickup it had at the time.
Well, you really made a body, didn't you?
Made a body itself, all right. Stakes and all, made it too.
Yeah.
Made it for about a third of what they're charging, you know, billing.
Yeah.
I got an electric drill, you know, and stuff to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Now, you picked up that carpeting from your daddy.
Yes, sir. He was what you call a finished carpenter.
Now, where did Willie pick up his carpentering?
I think maybe Willie just, you know, just natural, come to him. He didn't have, his daddy didn't know anything about carpentering. No, he didn't know anything, no.
Oh, he done his farm,
I saw. Raised potatoes, sugar cane, and mixed syrup.
Rutabagas, what's that?
All that.
Long stuff he had over there.
Oh, sorghum.
No,
mm-hmm.
Something else that grew in the ground, like sweet potatoes and rutabagas.
I'll call on him right now.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Make pudding out of it.
Yeah.
Cassava.
Yeah.
I knew it was something.
Cassava. Yeah. Now, I never had
held it a long time, too.
Yeah. Now, you can feed them to the animals.
Mm-hmm. Feed the pigs, cows.
Yeah. What do you do, cut them up or just give them to them?
Chop it. You can chop it.
Yeah.
Now, hogs are easy, you know, without chopping.
Yeah.
My hogs would, but cows. He chopped. I think he fed his horses. That's some great horses. He's made the crop milk. He fed up the horses, too.
Yeah. Well, he must have been a he wasn't. He'd try a lot of things.
Yeah, different thing, and he's just steady. He worked hard, and he's steady.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the old days, when Willie's daddy and my dad come on, very conservative. Of course, it didn't take, you know, too much money to live, you know, along then like it does now. You made a lot of your stuff, you know. You had it on sweet potatoes.
Well, your children weren't so expensive, you see. You didn't have to send them to school, and they'd work for you.
That's right.
Nah, they don't do a thing but spend money.
Yeah, if you get way behind, I'll keep them out of school, and they'll catch it back up, see.
Yeah.
But now, I'm like, daddy, I got to have so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we all lend this kid another. So, daddy, I want $5. $5 another, and then we'd get 10 to 25 cents. Go to town. You know what I'm talking about. The time to change now.
He had all that. He did all that good farming over there. Had those cassavas.
sweet corn, sweet potatoes. He could sell that sweet corn and sweet potatoes.
Oh, could he get a little?
Get a little money out of it, yeah.
Yeah, get a little money out of
it. 1923 Model T. You remember back that far? 23 Model T.
Uh-huh.
You wasn't too big yourself, though, were you?
Pretty good time.
See, you was born in 1910, I reckon, when you know I was too. You was 13 years old.
Yeah.
I was just a boy, I know it, and I remember know it just as well as it is, man. You born in 1926, a brand new one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give you much, but he gave you a little.
That's good. They won't eat much. But I've been holding off eating, but look like this office work and not manual work. You know, it's brain work and your own tension.
Yeah.
But you're not, you know, getting, you know, pressed pine and working like you know, with your tractors and getting out with fertilizer and finding fence fixing like they're doing over there and all that.
Yeah.
But they want to eat, in other words, and seem like that. It take me about 3 or 4 days to get used to that water, a little sulfur water.
Yeah, I like sulfur water.
But it's good for you.
But you have to get used to it.
That's right. And I still want it cold.
Yeah.
I don't like drinking it. If I can drink it right out of the well, you know, I'm old flowing well, but I'd rather have it in an ice box.
Yeah, it's hard to me.
But it's, if you drink it, you know, and it's a little bit warm or something, it's just like Epsom salt. Old truck driver, he said, is that water good to drink? Yeah, it's got a purifier and everything else. Only the surface water, but the well about 90 feet deep. It's all right. It's good to drink. I'm going to get some of this. So they go to the pump house, you know, and get some of that surface water and drink here. They wouldn't drink that surface water.
Eric, why would you want a concrete block house?
Well, biggest thing, in other words, is the upkeep of a house. You've got to paint it every 2 or 3 years, but the lumber you get nowadays. And another thing, the bug, you've got to pay the termite extinction, you know, $90 or $100 every so often come and, you know, give it a blast.
No, you don't.
And that's it, because you can't buy lumber now like you could, you know, way back then. There's lumber now like this.
Well, I mean, with a house like you all got out there, I don't quite see why you'd want to discard that for $100.
Look at Max's over. You see, here it is kind of like ours. Only here is a two-story.
Yeah.
And I reckon he spent $10,000 on it. It's not too good a house now. It's a little, you know, it's a pretty fair house. But there's a lot of things wrong with it now. In other words, it takes more heat to heat it. Wood, they still use a fireplace, in other words, and use heaters too. And you take a blockhouse and you sandblast it and get it fixed and over the inside, you can double, like that man over there. Double stud it inside, in other words, and put your board in there, in other words, plywood or sheetrock or plaster, whatever you want to.
It'll make it airtight.
And it'll make it, you know, where it'll be cool and also be warm in the wintertime.
Well, if you was. But you're not ailing, you know. You are pretty hardy. You don't have to.
I could too, as I told him. You know,
have too much comfort. You don't know.
I don't have to have the air conditioning like they have over there, and I'm not used to it. In other words, no hot, a few hot days, 90 degrees, something like that. Right.
What does Frankie heat with over here?
Wood. We give you the wood.
The fireplace.
I have a swamp down there.
Has he got a saw?
He got one little two-man saw.
Has he? Who helps him?
I guess that's brother-in-law. They
Lamer.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. They have a field back over the house.
Yes.
And she uses gas heat in it.
Yes. He not interested in the wood. Why would he go down there and cross-cut saw?
He doesn't help Frank out of yet. He doesn't work to.